I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. Maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option. And you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Wheatley listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Welcome to Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Lindsay Weber.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I really don't understand why the first thing on our agenda is a Star is Born first man update.
Well, because we have to do that now. Megan's
is that our
over.
Thing?
Most Markle's is done. We made it our thing. We made it our thing very loudly, very proudly,
is there a
very
name
angrily.
For this segment that you would like to volunteer? Like, you know, A Star is born, or like first man is our enemy, or like something catchier than
wait,
that.
Wait, 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 wait. When does the movie come out? 4 weeks? We'll call
yeah.
it 4 weeks from the shallow now.
That's terrible.
And then next week can be 3 weeks from the shallow now, then 2 weeks from the shallow now, 1 week from the shallow now. And then we're in the shallow. We're, no, then we're just in the
deep.
No, that doesn't really make sense. The metaphor gets messed up.
Okay, so what do you want to call it?
Let's just call it Star is Born update.
How about a podcast segment is born?
A podcast segment is born.
That's
Bradley
terrible.
Bradley Cooper's a podcast segment is born starring Lady Gaga.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Today on Bradley Cooper's A Podcast Segment is Born, starring Lady Gaga, we have news from Venice.
That was such a good day, the Venice day.
It was
didn't
one of...
Didn't you feel like a renewed sense of just like joy for
purpose.
Cinema?
Well, yeah, but also just general
okay.
purpose.
But also just like love of cinema.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Lady yeah. Gaga on a boat going into the Venice Film Festival was...
Yeah, yeah.
Such a treat. You forget, because the Joanne album cycle was very different. She was trying something new. And we want this from Lady Gaga, you know? Like,
we want
her to make
glamour.
An appearance on a boat in full
we
glam.
We want, like, exaggerated glamour and, like, very unaware and yet totally aware, just mm-hmm. kind of, what do you, like,
we
ambition.
Want her in character. We want
ambition.
Her in character, naked
right.
ambition.
Right. This character is not Joanne. This character is not Joe Calderoni or whatever that character's
Joe Calderon.
Name was.
This
character
is Lady Gaga. This is Lady Gaga.
This is like Lady Gaga starlet. Like,
yes.
You know, and she definitely made, and this is what I find so interesting, is she made a very conscious decision to not be Stephanie Germanotta in this specific role.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. She was Stephanie Germanotta in something else. I think in American Horror Story, maybe. No, maybe not.
No, she
Something
was Lady
else.
Gaga there.
But wasn't she Stephanie somewhere else recently? Not recently, but in her career?
I feel like probably, but I think that was a question that we had talked about where we thought she would, we thought that being Stephanie Germanotta made her legit, but what she's saying is I'm legit as Lady Gaga, which is really interesting.
But it's just kind also of unexpected. Kind of like, you know, not that these weren't their names, but Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland were those were their names in show business, yeah. in acting it's like and stage names. Music. Right. Right. And so I think that she was kind of just like, well, why can't I just be like Lady Gaga? I mean, it is a little bit maybe absurd, but to some people, but to most people, like, it's good marketing.
It's good marketing. And it's also just like, this is her character. Stephanie Germanotta wouldn't have come out on a boat in like that outfit.
So Stephanie Germanotta is like shining bright at the Venice. Meanwhile, Buzz Aldrin slams Ryan Gosling's first man for not showing planting of U.S. flag. It's like literally how can you even like compare? It's like the bleakest news compared to like the most perfect movie of all time. Like this movie is going to rule and like it's going to be perfect.
And to be fair, this, not to give first man any credit, but this controversy really is incredibly dumb, and it's not their fault technically.
Sure, but it that's is. Just the kind it's of delicious. Thing that it attracts. I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm saying like, but this is the context in which we live, and if you're going to release a movie like this, these are the types of things you're going to get. Meanwhile, Star is Born is just like, put Lady Gaga on a boat perfect. And sail her to
Venice. That's perfect. That's perfect. That's perfect. That's perfect. Everything's just perfect.
Great.
Everyone leaves the screening just being like, well, that was perfect.
That's amazing. Last night, Bobby sent me some like bootleg SoundClouds of like the songs from that people recorded in the theater. And I was like, I can't even like the fact that we're like putting our little ears up to this like shitty recording of like a bootleg.
Like a bootleg Italian gay man with a SoundCloud account listening to this at a press screening that he probably snuck into and then uploading it to SoundCloud. It's just what we want from the cycle. But then I ended up on Gaga Daily reading the message boards. And then you get all the fans and they're like, I will not be listening to these leaks. Like, well, I want to experience Star is Born like fully pure. And I kind of regret listening to the leaks.
You sent them to me and I listened to them too.
I know.
Well,
looking back, well, I mean, nothing will be like your first time seeing Star is Born. Also, those recordings were so terrible. I was ostensibly listening to white noise.
Nothing will be like seeing A Star is Born for the first time.
It's like hearing the Star is Born trailer with white noise.
Yo, thank God it's like only a month away. Like, I don't think I could handle this hype if it was farther than a month away.
No, it's literally a month away from the release of this episode. This is the September 5th episode.
Yeah.
A Star is Born comes out October 5th.
I don't think I could handle this entire cycle if it was like a year away. Like, I would be very kind of mad about it because it's not fair to me when critics get to see these movies so far and tell me they're good and then I forget about them by the time they premiere and it's such a bummer. Yeah,
like if this had premiered at Sundance, no. Ugh, get out of town.
Forget it.
Anyway, so the first reviews of Star is Born are all glowing. Everyone loves it. They're like, it's the best movie of all time. The first reviews of First Man are like half and half, sort of. It's probably actually more of a 70-30, but I'm trying to shade it a little more.
Yeah.
People are like, it's good. It's a good movie. Some people are like, it's kind of boring. Our friend Richard was like, I wish they'd have gotten to the moon faster.
Same.
He didn't love it. He said Ryan Gosling's performance is very boring. And one note, he didn't love it.
Again, if I wanted to watch a space movie, I would rewatch Apollo 13, which has all the great elements. Or I would watch like Arrival, or I would watch like Interstellar. Or
knowing my Apollo 13 rewatch schedule, I'm probably going to rewatch it soon, just because I have since 1995.
When they take out that whiteboard or chalkboard and they draw a line and they pick up that Kleenex box and they're like, "How do we solve this problem?" I mean. Okay. How can you beat that?
Let's start the episode.
You or Jayla? Yo,
they wanna know.
Hey.
Neil.
Hey.
Neil.
Come on. Hey.
Houston, we have a problem.
We literally just wrote a column on Slate.com, check it out, about how perfect our newest Who romance, Noah Cyrus and Lil Xan is. And guess what? Literally a week later, they're breaking up. And I think this is all our fault. And this means we should never write about this type of stuff again. We will.
I know. Or do we just curse it if we write about it?
I mean, we literally wrote, like, they're a perfect couple. And then this happened.
You could still be a perfect couple and deal with the breakup.
But also, our argument was that they're a perfect couple for, like, promotion reasons, and this actually gets them more promotion. So technically, we're still correct.
Yeah. We're still right.
So what happened?
Well, yesterday, the rumor was they broke up because Yesterday, the rumor was they broke up because Noah sent Lil Xan a meme of Charlie Puth naked. There are no photos of Charlie Puth naked on the internet, but there are those like,
if there
fake
were,
ones,
Bobby would have seen
where
them.
Where they put Charlie Puth's face on like a porn star's body, and she sent it to Lil Xan, and Lil Xan got really upset. And
well,
so
okay, let's
they
no,
broke up
a
right
screenshot,
after that.
And it
the
was just
of the text messages.
She sent the text message, and it said Charlie Puth, and it was just a naked picture of Charlie Puth, and then he
after
wrote,
this,
"What the fuck."
After this, they broke up. Noah said that Lil Xan was upset at her about this, which he was.
You know when you like a girl and shit and whatnot? But I've just been informed that I'm basically, it was all fake and I'm being used. So fuck it. I thought, you know, I was in love, but whatever. I'll take that L.
But because they coincidentally broke up after that, the internet thought they broke up because of the Charlie Puth and fake nude. That wasn't the case. What we found out later on was that they actually broke up because Lil Xan got mad at Noah for hanging out with this, I don't know, this music guy named Abe Laguna, who goes by okay.
She posted a photo with this guy that she'd worked on a song with. So she did a song with
Marshmello.
He's
touching her, or she's touching him.
And this guy, okay, he's like a DJ.
Okay,
O-O-K-A-Y. Whatever. Like, impossible to Google. Good SEO guy. So, like, she posted a photo with him on her grid, and he was mad. He's like, if you're my girl, like, don't touch men like that. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, it's like she has her arms, like, around his. It's not that bad.
It's a friendly arm thing, but in his Instagram story, Lil Xan does say that is why he broke up with her.
And then he posted an Instagram of him pissing on his record.
A record called Betrayal.
Sam's gonna fake you, Sam's gonna betray you. Sam's gonna fake you, Sam's gonna betray you. Sam's gonna fake you, Sam's gonna betray you.
So he feels betrayed by Noah. And in because he feels betrayed by Noah, he put his platinum record or some sort of
in
record.
In the tub, at least.
In the tub. And then he peed on it. And there's a video of it. You can watch
so
the video of him peeing on it.
This is literally like late breaking news because like these Instagram stories are still live. The ones that we're referring to, like that's how new this news is. So honestly, if this posts tomorrow and everything changes, please don't blame us. Like this is time stamped Tuesday, September 4th at 10:12 a.m. Okay. Noah posted these. I mean, this is such a teen thing is to post text on your Instagram stories, like on the black part. Like you post like black background and then you like write out text, which honestly is
because
insane.
Because teens.
I know.
Teens will always love to blog. And
know,
so this
blogging.
Is their blog
it's
now.
Blogging. So she wrote, first and foremost, this relationship was not set up by Columbia Records. To say that is a joke. It started when I got a DM from Diego and he asked me to hang out. I never thought that, but whatever.
No.
Then she wrote, the truth is I haven't seen him in almost a week. Every time we try and hang out, something always got in the way. I then saw a picture of a girl on a court on his story at 2 a.m. When I FaceTimed him later, I noticed a hickey. He told me it was just a bruise. Oy. I decided to give him the benefit of the doubt and ignored it. And then she wrote, I've been there for you during your dark times, Diego, when you felt alone, like no one was there for you. I was. If this is your way of breaking up with me and breaking my heart along with it, then you've succeeded. Oh, God. So it's like, who even is the winner in this? Like, they're both, like, trying to get sympathy for this situation, and it's just a mess.
It's a mess. Do we want to talk about who this girl is?
Well, it's like, so this guy was in her, she posted an Instagram with this guy who she'd work with.
Oh, okay.
And then all of a sudden, his Instagram stories, after he pissed on the record, feature this girl named Chloe Shorty, Chloe Shorty, who is also like a SoundCloud musician, much like Xan. And it's kind of just like a little bit of like a fuck you, doesn't it feel like that?
The top photo on her grid is like a very thoughty photo of her ass, but it's in space. And so I thought that was kind of creative.
Chloe Shoddy.
I feel like I like Chloe Shoddy. Do I like her more than Noah? No, I don't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I feel like Chloe's a good Instagram personality.
Okay, so
she put her ass in space.
Basically, that's what's going on here. There'll probably be a million updates by tomorrow. And like, honestly, we're not really equipped to give those. So we will just sign off here and say, true love is dead. We believed in you, Noah and Xan. And check out our column on Slate.com.
We don't have to get that dramatic yet. There's always a possibility they could get back together.
You think they're going to get back together?
No, I'm just saying they're babies. children in relationships break up and get back together over and over and over again. Look at Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin. They're engaged now. Look how messy that was.
All right.
Moving on.
Guys, the truth about it all at the end of the day is that things suck and that the days are going to suck and that's just okay.
Moving on, Lindsay Lohan danced in Mykonos and now she started a viral challenge called Do the Lilo.
I hate
this. She leaned into her viral fame.
I hate her.
And instead of being embarrassed, she
when John McCain died, she Snapchatted something and it was like, feel better soon. Did you see that? She's like...
Lindsay Lohan tries to make Do the Lilo happen. Within hours of the viral video of the actress jamming out at her Mykonos Beach Club, Lindsay herself even seemed to poke fun at her dance moves. She posts multiple videos of flipping her red hair back and forth with the hashtag Do the Lilo.
It's crazy because I think the thing with Lilo is that people are like, what happened to her? And it's like she just fully embraced her actual personality and brain. Like this is what she, I'm not trying to be mean, but I think this is literally like her capacity.
Yeah.
Is that mean? A little.
I don't know what it is. When we talk about Lindsay Lohan, I don't know if it's mean, if it's just real.
I know.
I don't know. Busy Phillips was one of the many celebrities who also performed. Hoodoo. Yeah. If you haven't seen a Lilo dance, there's a video of her in the middle of the day at her Mykonos club in this sort of like shiny jumpsuit. And the music starts playing and it's like it's a remix of, God, a Zayn song, right? It's like a remix of a Zayn song. And she's, doesn't matter. She's dancing in the most bizarre and specific sort of robotic way that's like knees up, head down, step, step, step in place, like ass on the countertop. It's
very like girl at the club. Like she does a full hair flip. It just looks very uncomfortable and like just very...
The actions are big, but they're not rhythmic, you know?
Yes. Yes.
They're very big actions.
Big, but
they're
not very
theatrical, and but they're not dancing.
Okay, let's be honest, though. Like, Lilo has not been known for her dancing. Like, that's not one of her things. Like, when Britney appeared again and was like, had a difference in dancing, everyone was like, weird. Britney was known for her dancing. Like, this is a weird thing. It's like, Lilo was never known for this. Mm-hmm. So her dancing like this is, yes, it's fun, but it's like... I'm not surprised.
I mean, it is literally, it's exactly like Elaine in Seinfeld because she, this is an instance of the authority figure, like the boss of the club, having to sort of be one of the normals in front of people. And it's like when Elaine dances at her company party, she embarrasses herself. Lindsay danced at her company party that just happens to be every day because her company is a club and she embarrassed herself. But... Instead of letting that get to her, she owned it, which is, you know what, smart in 2018.
Like, she named it Do the Lilo. I will say, though, like, the Do the Lilo is not catching on. It's not an authentic meme. Like,
it's not in my feelings.
The fact that Busy Phillips did it is fine, but, like, that does not mean anything. So Lilo is trying to grab hold of this and steer it in the right direction when it's honestly just more funny to watch Lilo do it. Like, it's not actually fun to watch other people do it.
It is making some tremendous memes, though. Like,
is it?
Some good, like, me when whatever. Did you see those?
No. Me when whatever.
No. Now I can't even. Now I can't even think of a good example.
Me when whatever.
Me when.
Okay. Can we move on? Because Lilo is technically not full who yet. Is she? She maybe is.
I don't know. And do you think that show will premiere? I don't.
No, I don't think it'll ever happen.
Nope. I don't think so either.
No, I don't think so. If that show ever happens, we'll have to talk about it. That'll be our punishment.
Yeah. Also, I don't think Pete and Ariana are going to get married.
Whoa. Okay. That's how did you can't just say
I'm just
that.
I'm saying things that I don't think are going to actually happen.
What else?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay. I can't believe that the Pete and Ariana thing came out of nowhere.
Let's move on to a follow-up of sorts to a call from last week about which celebrities were at Burning Man. We predicted that there would be more celebrities that weekend. Turns out we were right, but not because we were smart, just because Burning Man ended. So people are coming home.
It's kind of a disappointing run. The most famous celebrity is Heidi Klum.
Right.
Right?
Right. Like Heidi Klum's cameos... Heidi Klum is a lot more famous than I think I give her credit for.
No, she's like, big.
She was one of the biggest. I watched Ocean's 8 finally last night, and Heidi Klum was like one of the main big celebrities.
Wasn't
where it was like, oh, she's talking to Heidi Klum.
Well, I mean, it's like, oh, right, also, who famous. Did they get? It's like the people that they got to
Dakota be. Fanning being cast as the more famous person is one of the funniest things that I've seen in a movie.
I mean,
in a
Ocean's
long,
8
long time.
Was Ocean's 8 was out to sea a little bit, and it's everything.
Ocean's 8 more like Ocean 6.5.
I didn't
have
get
you ever
that.
Seen a more.
I didn't get that joke when you said you, it the first time
because it's like. It was the most, like, fine movie I've ever seen.
Yes, yes.
It's just a 6.5 yes. out of 10.
Wait, so you're saying an 8 out of 10 is too much for Ocean's
8? Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Ocean's 8 was a 6.5. Ocean's 8 was, like, the most comfortable, yeah. most, like, yeah. inoffensive, perfect summer movie because, yeah. like, there's, like you said, which everyone told me going into it, but
I
it
told
is
you.
Still jarring to see in practice. There is no suspense.
There's
there
no
is
stakes.
No conflict. There are, the stakes are so low.
Nothing
it's
happens.
Just like nothing happens. And then when yeah. the big reveal, which is only a minor, but again, it's a big reveal. But the big reveal happens at the end. You're like, okay.
I still can't believe that they like. At, towards the God, this is not. We really should not be talking about Ocean's 8. But like when they brought back that guy, the like gymnast guy, or like the and they're just like and he just does something, and they're like, hey, and he's like, hi, and it's like, why are you here? And also like, could no woman do that? Like I just don't. It just it's so stupid. You know, it was so stupid.
Hey.
Right?
Hey.
Am I right?
Hey.
He's
you're
doing.
Right.
He's doing something, and then they're like, well, we brought him back, and you're like, oh, what's up?
I will say it sort of reminded me of the first season of Westworld, not to turn into this is not a Westworld podcast.
No, please.
In that I was mostly just like, I'm interested in Ocean's 9. I feel like Ocean's 9 will be good now.
No.
Wait, but Ocean's no. 8 was just like fine. It sets up for like, what's their next heist going to be? Especially now that we know who number 8 is.
If the same person who writes 8 writes 9, I'm not interested. Like, I
what
just
I'm saying is,
that
what I'm
was
getting at is that now
so
that Anne Hathaway
boring.
Is officially part of the Ocean's crew, yeah. I think that's a lot of fun because she was the best part of that movie. Her and Awkwafina were the best part
of that
movie. It
should be Ocean's 1, and it's just Anne Hathaway.
Sarah Paulson, too. Sarah Paulson got some funny lines.
Ocean's 2.
It was funny how little Sandra Bullock did. Sandra Bullock was just like, he just kept this tone the whole movie. Yep, I'm going to do it. Guess what? I'm in a heist. I'm going to steal the thing.
I just
got out of prison.
It's just like
yep,
a heist.
That's me. I'm a thief. I'm going to do it.
Oh my God.
Like the same
Remember
tone.
When they needed something and then Rihanna's sister just did it? And it was like, what?
Yes.
They were like, Rihanna's
like,
sister
how are we
knows
gonna get
about
over
magnets.
This? And then Rihanna's it's like, I'm going to call my sister. And the sister's like, yeah, you need this and this and this. You're and then Rihanna's like, thanks, sis.
It just feels like no one like challenged anything in this movie to say like, well, why would Rihanna's sister know about magnets? You can't just like do that. Like, that's so weird. Anyways, we really cannot talk
James
about this movie.
Also, James Corden being an
late.
Integral part of
oh,
the final
weird.
Act of this movie
that
was like,
weird.
Get me out of this movie.
He was in multiple scenes.
No, he's like crucial to the final act of that movie.
I know. And it's also just like, you don't
because they get away with the heist and you're like,
cares. I know.
The movie ends and you're like, wait, why is there 30 minutes left? And then James Corden arrives and you're like, oh, because we have to do James Corden stuff. Moving on, who else was there? Nina Dobrev?
So Heidi was there with her boyfriend, Tom Cowlitz, we talked about, who's in Tokyo
Tom Cowlitz!
Hotel, and his twin brother, Bill.
So there's a lot of Instagrams of the three of them together. Imagine, I don't even want to say it. Just
no,
like,
imagine.
That just sounds awful. It
Nina
sounds awful.
Was there. Apparently Lucas Haas was there in Nina Dobrev's Instagram stories. I don't know. That's what this
Lucas
article
Haas, OG,
says.
Pussy Posse.
Oh, I remember. He was there. I don't know who Charlie Fraser is. Do you? Model?
She's a model. She's Australian, but she's a model.
Alessandra Ambrosio was there, of course, model. Who is Natalie Kelly, model?
She's an actress. She's Peruvian.
Oh, cool.
She was also in The Vampire Diaries, which is, I think, why she was there, because I think she's friends with Nina Dobrev.
Candace Swanpool was there. She's a
Swainpool.
Model.
Swainpool.
Okay, thank you. And some girl who I saw on my Instagram feed, but who dated Leo, but I forget her name. One of Nina Agdal, maybe.
Oh, Nina Agdal was there?
I think she was there,
I didn't
yeah.
see her.
She was there, I think. Nina
That's
Agdal.
Fun.
This is like the most boring segment. It's like, who was that
yeah,
Burning
but,
Man?
But
it's like
basically, it's just like,
boring.
It was so hooey that literally who cares. So let's move on to Lala Kent's marriage.
I'm telling you, celebs like can't deal with like, it's too high maintenance. It's too much work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. In this economy. So Lala Kent, this was really interesting to me. Probably not for you because you follow these people.
Sure, sure.
But, Lala Kent got engaged, and I thought she was engaged to a Vanderpump Rules person.
No, that's a different Vanderpump Rules relationship. There's
so she really just got engaged to some random Hollywood who?
He's not random. So basically, wow, Bobby, you really need
but
to
watch really
Vanderpump
rich.
Rules. Listen to me.
Tell me.
So Vanderpump Rules is the best show on television. And on that show, there are various couples. One is Katie and Tom, one of the Toms of Tom Tom, which you have heard about, the
yes.
restaurant Tom
We've
Tom.
We've talked about that so
the
much.
The other Tom is dating this woman named Ariana, not important. Then you have Jax and Brittany, who you heard about because last season they were the center of attention. He cheated on her. They got back together and they got engaged. That happened a few months ago that they were engaged.
Right.
This is all going to be happening on the next season of Vanderpump Rules. Okay.
Wild.
Then there's this woman named Lala Kent, who emerged this season as kind of like one of the stars, even though she came into a lot of drama. She kind of redefined herself as like, I'm a feminist and like women. Yeah. So that was her whole thing. She also like befriended a lot of the cast a lot more. Now Lala Kent is kind of one of the standouts of the show. She gives the best quotes. She has the best plot lines, like, you know, and all the other characters kind of wrap around her because all they want is to be interesting and relevant. And they know the show is like the center of what that, you know, the show is like everything. So they see her being popular and cool and whatever on the show. And they all become like her best friend. Okay. So Lala, like in the past, she had been accused by these other girls in a mean way of being a homewrecker.
Were you dating a married man?
No.
Are you
and no
dating
one,
a married
no.
man?
And that no one is ever going to get the answer they're looking for. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to put my relationship on the forefront.
Who are you dating?
Ever. And I'm not going to say that either.
Are you
and
dating someone?
I am.
But Lala, just by virtue of the fact that you say everything's a secret, that creates intrigue. Do you understand?
Right. We've all had to bleed out for this show. And if you want to come in and be friends with us and expect the same respect, then you need to bleed out too.
She was dating a married man. That's how she had all this money. Because they were like, how do you work at a restaurant? And you're like rolling up in an Escalade that you like got yourself. And she was just like, well, my man like takes care of me. And everyone's like, who's your man? So this whole time people have been like, who's Lala's man? Who's Lala's man? And literally like somebody on
For like a season?
Yeah,
no one knew who the man was?
Kind of. Like people had known on the internet who he was. And he
but not on the show.
Not on the show. And then it was kind of revealed, I think, once his like other relationship like ended. Like less messily.
Okay.
Like the overlap was kind of suspect. So now
because I looked up his ex, I looked up his ex-wife and stuff. So like, okay, yeah, I didn't realize that ended because of her.
He has two kids. Not, I mean, I'm not making any accusations. Like, I don't know the timeline of this, but it definitely does seem a little bit like sus. He's a movie producer, and now they're officially engaged. God, that is a long catch up for honestly not interesting of a story.
Okay. Well, which begs the question, Randall. What's the Lala project?
People don't realize what a good actress she is, and so I think when you start to see, she's done a couple projects that not a lot of people know. So when those come out in the fall, I think people are going to be blown away because she's not just a reality star. She really is an actress at heart. And I think people are going to be really shocked.
And his name is Randall, right?
Randall.
Randall Emmett. He's a film producer. He produced Gotti.
He produced
Amityville, The Awakening. He produced Silence, that Martin Scorsese movie, which is sort of the biggest, most prestigious movie on his filmography. He was married to an actress named Amber Childers.
I think I recognize that name, not from Vanderpump Rules, but from something else. Anyways.
It seems like she's more of a soap person, but she's also in the upcoming Lifetime show You, which Lindsay and I are both excited about.
We are excited about it.
I will I put Katie Natopoulos' tweet in here because this was funny. She said, personally, I believe an engagement should always be announced to People magazine before you Instagram it in the next morning so that you can link to the People article, which is what Lala did.
Which is wild because she linked to it in the comment.
In the comment.
And
she should know better.
You should know better. Yeah, like that link's not
especially
going
her.
Anywhere. Come on. You
especially
know that link's her. Not going anywhere.
But when also the link is, it's sort of, even if you can't click it, just saying I was announced on People is sort of like a brand play.
Well, also what was announced, which was even crazy, the way that they contextualized this People was they interviewed the jeweler.
Richie Rich.
Which is weird because it's like they didn't interview Lala or Randall or any of the friends because they weren't available. I promise you these people are available for an interview from People magazine. So like there's an added extra element where did she get the ring for free because of this like insane press situation where he was the one who literally gave like the comment to People? Is that what she linked to or did she link to something else?
She linked to the actual wedding announcement. Like them being engaged.
Okay, so
but
this was a different article.
But this guy it wouldn't surprise. It's I didn't read that the way you read that. I didn't read that as in like they reached out to him. I read it as he reached out to people.
No,
like,
oh, of course I'm. Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying like it's kind they of got amazing. Both, is what I'm,
they got.
It's
they got
amazing
both
that this guy got his own article. Like it's one thing to get like in the announcement. It's like we asked mm-hmm. the jeweler who made the ring, blah blah blah. But this is like yeah. its own full article where he makes all of these kind of like I'm a source. Statements about their relationship.
Yeah. The article that Lala linked to was just straight up, they're engaged.
Okay.
It was their exclusive engagement reveal. Then there was the follow-up about the ring because this guy supplies jewelry to famous people. Of all categories, he supplies them to the biggest who's and the biggest them's.
Yeah, he's like the Jacob, the jeweler of this of our new generation, maybe.
He's Jen Meyer without the nepotism.
He's Jen Meyer without. I mean, he.
And also, he's not the friend. He's not. He doesn't seem to be friends with people.
He also
just
doesn't
makes
seem to
jewelry.
Be the owner of the jewelry company that he works for either. He works for Leon Jewelers, and his name is Richie Rich.
But they
which
people
is
like
a terrible
his jewelry
name for SEO.
People like his jewelry. He doesn't get the friend angle. He just gets this guy's a great jeweler.
No,
and
he
makes
think he
very
does get,
gaudy.
I think he does gaudy, get the friend angle though.
But all the photos are of them like. At the jewelry store together, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you see Jen Meyer at brunch. You don't see Richie Rich
at
brunch.
No, he's no Jen Meyer. No, he's no yeah. Jen Meyer. Come on, he's no Jen Meyer. Also,
but it's
I
really
think,
funny.
But there's a difference between Jen Meyer's jewelry, which could be bought by you or I. If mm-hmm. I mean, obviously it's expensive, but it's consumer. His jewelry is like you have to go and like get it custom. Like, it's a custom
It's
situation.
Custom jewelry, yeah. And it's like everything is tricked out in diamonds. It's just like very, very gaudy, which is why I put this quote in here. It's very funny. It says, Richie Rich is talking about like what it was like to talk to that guy, Randall Emmett, about designing the ring for Lala. And Richie says he didn't want anything too gaudy or outrageous, but it's like everything, like that is your style.
Literally,
gaudy
your style
and outrageous.
Is gaudy. Like if you look at his Instagram, it's just like the most insane, uncomfortable looking rings I've ever seen.
It's just a funny incident where like these people are lacking at all self-awareness or like what jewelry actually looks like anywhere but West Hollywood, which is where what it all looks like there.
So it only took me about like 5 minutes to find Bella Thorne and Rita Ora on this guy's feed. So clearly he knows what he is after. Congratulations mm-hmm. to Richie Rich.
Did you see Ansel? Ansel's there?
Yeah, twice.
Ansel?
He's on it twice. Whatever. Okay. Let's move on. God, why are we talking about so many old topics? Okay. Halsey and Gerald are back together, I guess.
I don't really care about this. I was like, do either. We want to talk about this?
No.
Because it's the weird love triangle with Machine Gun Kelly and G-Eazy and Halsey. And now she's officially back with G-Eazy. And it's like, who cares?
It is like, who cares? But I will say I love this. This triangle is kind of great to me.
Yeah.
Like this
Gerald
is a
and
great...
Machine. It's especially funny. It's just funny for our purposes because it's the easiest thing in the world to confuse G-Eazy with Machine Gun
Machine
Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly. Literally,
they are the same.
They're the same.
I don't care about the difference between them, but it's funny that they're the same. Let's talk about someone more interesting. Dominic Cooper and Gemma Chan.
To Gemma. Why are you saying Gemma?
Oh, Gemma. Yeah, sorry, Gemma.
I will say this is great because two of the feel-good movies of the summer, their stars have gotten together. I appreciate this. This is good crossover marketing. Yes, would I love to see a Mamma Mia 2 and Crazy Rich Asians double feature? Sign me up.
It's really funny. Remember who Dominic Cooper dated before this?
No.
For a really, really long time?
No.
Ruth Negga.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they're on Preacher together.
Yeah, they're on Preacher together. My dad
They dated
Preacher.
For like 8 years, and they just broke up in the summer, and now he's dating Gemma.
Preacher is a crazy show. Have you ever had anyone explain that to you?
I've read about it, and I was like, oh, it's a comic book show. I don't care anymore.
I know.
No,
my dad tried
to comics,
explain it to me. I was like, what is Preacher about? And he's like, well, there's Preacher, and there's vampires. And I was like, what? And he's like,
no,
yeah.
No, get me out of here. Get me out of here. The moment I read about Preacher, I'm like, no.
I know. Same.
Someone recently told me, they were like, Preacher's actually good. You should watch the first season. And then I read the Wikipedia and I was like, I'm never going to watch this. Never. Yeah, never in my life am I going to watch this.
It's fine. It's a dad movie. All right.
Frida Pinto and Corey Tran are together. Who the hell is Corey Tran? And do we remember who Frida Pinto is?
Well, I was going to say, is Frida Pinto even relevant? Like, I'm sorry. Like, she's beautiful and she was good in the last movie I saw her in. Yeah. What is she doing? Frida Pinto is dating her co-star from Slumdog Millionaire again, I don't care.
Dev Patel? Did they date? Didn't it ruin her marriage or something?
Yes, something crazy like that. But I'm just saying, like, what is she doing right now? And I don't care to look.
It's it's not necessarily funny and it's not necessarily sad because she does seem fine, but the extent to which America, or at least maybe I'm misremembering, but everyone was like, Frida Pinto is the new thing and Frida Pinto's gonna be in everything after Slumdog Millionaire, and Frida Pinto was in nothing.
Where is she, what does she do? Do you know?
She's on the show The Path on Hulu.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how she met this dude. Corey Tran was introduced to her by Aaron Paul.
Makes sense.
Who is on The Path with Frida Pinto.
The fact that
Aaron Paul is Corey Tran's best friend, or one of their friends.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I guess it makes sense. He looks like he'd be best friends with Aaron Paul.
Yeah. So now you know. Whatever.
And now they're together. Who cares? They're so very boring. Do you know what his Instagram bio is?
What?
Traveler, adrenaline junkie, Los Angeles, California, and Austin, Texas. Do you know who else he has photographed?
Who?
Obviously, there's Frida Pinto. Then, Julianne Hough.
What?
Two shots of her.
Yeah.
And then,
could he be any more in her realm? I mean, come on. Like, Julianne Hough loves this guy.
Moving on.
Teresa is suing Chief Keef over he used a picture of her mansion on his album. I think he just searched mansions.
You trying so hard to avoid pronouncing her last name because it changes every day.
Giudice? Giudice?
Teresa is suing.
Giudice?
Please welcome Teresa Giudice.
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 Giudice. I mean, I think it's Giudice, but I think she said Giudice for a little bit, right?
The funny thing about this is that Chief Keef's album is called Mansion Music, and you can tell this guy just Google image search mansion, which I would also totally do, and got Teresa's mansion, the inside, and took it, and now she's suing him, which is just honestly insane.
Fair, but that's fair. Like, when you're famous, you just, like, sue over all these sorts of things because, like, you have a lawyer who's like, sue, cease and desist.
I love that it says, this article, Radar really gets to the heart of things where it says, however, the photograph has been used to market the house in the past, so it's not strictly a private image. Right. So, like, this isn't a photo that Teresa or her family took. It's a photo used by, like, the real estate agency to, like, promote the house. Okay.
I mean, it's sort of like, it's just to get work. Like, we know the images we're allowed to use, and, like, if there were photos on realtor.com, those would probably fall under the realm of like promotional imagery, so we wouldn't have to worry about them at all.
You could use them. I know. So that's why this is kind of
But it's
funny.
Like, can you use it commercially? Like, editorially, it's one thing, but can you use it commercially? I could see where that gets a little blurry. But point being, Teresa's house is on this album cover, and it's very funny.
The cover has a statue of Chief Keef's face, like on a,
like
bust
a
in the middle of the house. Wouldn't it be funny if that was already there? Like, in the house. Like, they mean, like, it's clearly not there. It also doesn't make any sense size-wise. Like, the proportions of this is all, like, they're all off.
None of it.
But what
it
if that
good.
Was just, like, what Teresa had in her house? Yeah. Anyways.
Also, now I'm laughing at, like, another thing about Ocean's 8. The technology in Ocean's 8. The, like,
it's so bad.
The printer. The printer is, like, the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Also, really quickly, what the hell was Sarah Paulson's deal where it was, like, she hoards merchandise and then resells it? Like, what? And at the end, when they were all showing, like, what are they up to now? What are they using the money for? And it's, like, Awkwafina bought a loft. Like, Rihanna bought a bar. And then, like, Cate Blanchett bought a motorcycle. And then it's, like, Sarah Paulson just was in a bigger warehouse filled with Roombas? What was her ending? Did you see that? Because, like, her house, the garage in her house was, like, filled with Roombas and, like, Soda Streams. And then Sandra Bullock's like, oh, like, how do you explain this to your husband? And she's like, eBay. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're explaining.
Do you think it was, like, merchandise that had been stolen, like, falling off the truck?
Okay, yes. So that made sense.
But that is the, like, smallest operation for Sarah Paulson to be good at.
So she steals it, and then she resells it on eBay, blah, blah. But then at the end, she has an entire warehouse of stuff, and it's like, why are you doing more illegal things? You just got $60 million.
You don't have to do this anymore.
Like, you have, like, a gigantic warehouse filled with Roombas. Why is that a satisfying conclusion to your character's arc? And it literally did the thing where the screen, like, spins out. Like, it's like...
No, it's not a good movie. I'm glad you finally understand.
Like, I mean, it was fine. Will I watch it again? Probably 100 more times before I'm dead.
No, you won't. You will not watch it 100
more times. Yeah,
it's
cute enough to keep on. Because, like, nothing happens. Do we care about Sophia Richie?
No, but this is really funny. Did you see this, though?
No, I didn't see this. I didn't see it until it was in the doc.
Sophia Richie is going to Australia. Mm-hmm. Why? I could not tell you. And she's doing press. For what? I could not tell you. And the greatest thing is that the Daily Telegraph, an Australian publication that I can't click on because it's pay-gated, but the Daily Mail thankfully wrote it up, Daily Mail Australia, they said that that she sent them an email saying that she will not talk about two things. One is Scott Disick. Two is her father. And so they were like, what else is there for her to talk about? And I thought that was really funny.
That's really funny. That's true.
Then they said no to that and they lifted it. Like now they can talk about anything. Like it was just really funny that that was like the first request. And then the answer was like, okay, well, like then what are we supposed to talk about with this woman? And they were like, meh.
It's like having Pete Davidson over and him saying like, I won't talk about Ariana.
But then, or SNL. Or comedy, SNL, yeah. Or the earth. Or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's mm-hmm. literally the only things that there are to talk about. Like there's nothing else to talk about. Anyways, I thought that was funny because, like, it's rude and it was funny. What's next?
Jeffrey Owens.
This was interesting just because of, like, the way that...
The speed. The speed is what interests me.
But also just, like, we so often don't care about celebrities in this mm-hmm. way. And all of a sudden, we cared about him so much because of this, the framing of yeah. this.
So, like, Fox News, I think the Daily Mail also
yeah, for sure.
published photos of Jeffrey Owens, who was Elvin on The Cosby Show. If you don't remember Elvin on The Cosby Show, he was Sandra's wife. Sandra, the worst Cosby child. Oh, my God. Sandra's so bad. Elvin was her husband on the show, and he was played by Jeffrey Owens. Jeffrey Owens was spotted working at a Trader Joe's, and so these people took photos of him and published them on, and they were published by Fox News and the Daily Mail, and it was like, wow, can you believe it? Fall from grace. Jeffrey Owens used to be on like the biggest show in the world, and now he's working at Trader Joe's. And immediately, like every celebrity posted tweets and Instagrams like linking to that story saying, how dare you? Don't job shame. He's a great actor. Like we should be thrilled that people are working. Like every job is equal.
It also Fair. Was kind of fucked up because it's not like he hadn't been working. Like he does like small shows yeah. and like Shakespeare stuff and teaches and like all this stuff. So it wasn't like he does like lots of like TV.
He just has, who doesn't have a lot of jobs, you know?
Well, also someone was like, oh, you know, Trader Joe's has great health insurance. Like, you yeah. know, that's probably why, or like there's lots of uh-huh. reasons why you would be working part-time at Trader Joe's. God knows I could use some great health insurance. So mm-hmm. it's just like it was an interesting outpour of love that was kind of for me unexpected, just because I feel like we've had situations like this before where we've seen celebrities like in situations and kind of had this same coverage, and then mm-hmm. this didn't happen. You know, I'm trying to think of yeah. another thing.
Well,
but it's
that's what surprised me the most about it, is that there was never even the backlash was almost simultaneous to the original story. Like
yeah.
people, there wasn't even time for us to theoretically laugh at him there, because immediately everyone was mad at it, which is a good thing.
Right. It's a good thing.
But like the first I heard of the story was celebrities were mad at the coverage to begin with, which I feel like was record time, you know?
Right.
Like
you didn't
record.
See it. This probably would have just gone under the radar. Like this probably would have yeah. just not been commented on or talked about or anything, because I don't really mm-hmm. think anyone cares that. That was the other thing, is like no one cares that Elvin works at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
That's and he worked the other there for, thing.
He was on Good Morning America after it happened.
What'd he say? I don't care about this. Who cares?
I feel like I'm more of a celebrity now than I've ever been. I'm more of a celebrity now than when I actually was a celebrity. That makes sense.
Oh, my goodness.
And I also want to say this. I, you know, this business of my being this Cosby guy who got shamed for working at Trader Joe's, that's going to pass. You know what? That's going to, you know, in some measure of time, that's going to pass away. But I hope what doesn't pass is this idea that people are now thinking, this rethinking about what it means to work, you know, the honor of the working person and the dignity of work. And I hope that this period that we're in now, where we have a heightened sensitivity about that and a reevaluation of what it means to work, and that a reevaluation of the idea that some jobs are better than others, because that's actually not true. There is no job that's better than another job. It might pay better, it might have better benefits, it might look better on a resume and on paper, but actually it's not better. No one should feel sorry for me, either from a positive or a negative perspective. I've had a great life. I've had a great career. And I've had a career that most actors would really, you know, would die for. So no one has to feel sorry for me. I'm doing fine.
It's a very 2018 sentiment, I gotta say. Like the labor it's and blah blah.
Fully 2018.
Okay. What's next? Shay Mitchell's 25 Things.
Did you see Shay Mitchell's 25 Things?
Only your tweet about it.
Yeah, well, those are the best things. These are the best things in her 25 Things. And I was like, wow, Shay did it right. Because as we talk about a lot, so many celebrities do it wrong. And Shay
They're either like not funny or too funny. You gotta be something in the middle.
You gotta toe the line. These are my favorite things from Shay Mitchell's 25 Things. Number 7. I have a sick obsession with external battery chargers. I have one in every bag. That's really funny. I didn't know that about you. Number 11. My biggest pet peeve is people talking with food in their mouth. Didn't know that. And then there's number 15. I always wash my feet before bed.
Perfect.
A great 25 Things. A great one. And then this is my favorite. 17. I hate blue cheese. And then in parentheses, I know, don't send hate mail. It's like, Shay, what? Do you think that's a controversial opinion? I feel like a lot of people do not like...
That's a good one.
It's really good.
That's a good one.
I know.
That's a good
one. Don't send me hate mail.
That's a good one.
I'm going to send Shay Mitchell hate mail.
Some guy from like wherever is going to be like, Dear Shay Mitchell, like on behalf of blue cheese, like I am writing
on behalf
you.
Of like the Blue Cheese Society of America, how dare you shade my industry? So... Really quickly, I wanted to use this as a segue into a game of Last Weekly.
Oh my God, this means you read Us Weekly this week.
Yeah, I mean, I read it every week. I just don't always make it into Last Weekly. We're gonna do this quickly, but it's a fun one.
Okay.
Here we go. Question one. We're gonna start with who wore it best: Brooklyn Decker or Selena Gomez?
Gomez.
Got it right. Okay. Who wore it best: Lupita Nyong'o or Nicki Minaj?
Always Nyong'o.
Yep. Correct. Who wore it best, Mila Kunis or Victoria Beckham?
That's tough, but I'll say Victoria Beckham.
Nope, that was Mila Kunis. Got it wrong.
Damn.
Who wore it best? I love this one. Jane Fonda or Princess Beatrice?
Rude as hell. Jane Fonda?
Jane Fonda wore it best. Yeah. Hell yeah. By a lot, by the way.
Yeah, well.
Who wore it best?
No one cares about Princess Beatrice. Right.
Who wore it best, Jessica Chastain or Emma Rigby?
I don't know who Emma is, so Jessica.
That's correct. Who wore it best? This is one of the biggest... most mind-blowing questions in Last Weekly history.
Sure.
Who wore it best, Taylor Swift or Tinashe?
Oh my God. What were they wearing?
Camo pants, like streetwear.
The same pants?
Yeah, the same drawstring camo pants.
Okay, then Tinashe.
50-50.
No.
50-50.
This magazine.
That never happens.
Throw that out the window. That is the stupidest thing
ever. I feel like
ever.
Tree Payne saw a version of this where Tinashe won. It was like 52-48. And Tree Payne was like, excuse me, please. Tree Payne sent in like 100,000 more votes.
That's the most votes for anything Tinashe has like gotten in her life.
Congrats to Tinashe for getting a 50. Olivia Culpo was spotted where?
I hate this woman.
The Away to Mars Honeycomb Capsule Collection. The Away to Mars Cheerios Capsule Collection. The Away to Mars Fruity Pebbles Capsule Collection or the Away to Mars Fruit Loops Capsule Collection?
Either A or B.
D, Fruit Loops Collection.
No!
There's a really great photo of her eating Fruit Loops out of a bowl and she's like holding the bowl. I mean,
as
holding the spoon right to her mouth.
She's ever eaten Fruit Loops.
Olivia Culpo does not like artificial colors, flavors, sweeteners, or dairy milk. Moving on. Who was spotted in a handwritten shirt that said, Compassion can't wait? Emma Roberts, Zendaya, Megan Fox, or Nikki Hilton Rothschild?
Zendaya.
Nikki Hilton Rothschild.
Fuck.
Last things. These are fun. You know, the like, stars are just like us.
Of course
they blank. They blank.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the they? What is the caption on Judy Greer holding boxes and walking?
they schlep. They move. They carry.
They do the blank.
They do the work.
Opposite of light.
They do the heavy lifting.
There we go. But they do the heavy lifting. What is the caption on Chris O'Donnell reading a newspaper?
They pay attention to the news.
They're really close.
They stay up on news.
They catch up on current events. They catch up on current events.
That's good.
I love they catch up on current
That's
events.
That's good. That's
he's
good.
He's reading the sports page too. Okay.
That's good. That's
Claire good. Danes buying peaches in Union Square and also eating a lollipop.
They eat a balanced meal.
But pay attention. She's buying peaches in Union Square. What's in Union Square on the weekends in the summer?
They attend the farmer's market.
They shop at farmer's markets. Yes,
okay, but like, that has nothing to do with the lollipop. Okay, fine.
But she's eating like an artisanal popsicle.
Okay, fine.
It's like an artisanal popsicle from like the Hudson Valley or something.
Okay, sure.
Alicia Silverstone. This is where we end. A photo of Alicia Silverstone curled up on a bus stop bench, presumably asleep.
Wait, what?
Like, there's a photo of Alicia Silverstone curled up on like a bus stop bench, and she looks asleep.
They catch a nap where they can. They take a quick Z. They take a break.
You're really close. I just sent it to you because I want you to see it.
They take a minute to rest. Wait, I'm sorry. While waiting for her ride, Alicia Silverstone curled up on a bench. This is just, there's no context. She's just lying. She's sleeping on a bench in Santa Barbara. Wow. Stars are really just like us.
Okay, let's do Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
She posed in one specific sultry way that everyone wrote about. Wait, because really? She was in baggy jeans and a white crop top, and her boobs were kind of out in some of them. She's doing that pose that she loves to do where she's topless, but then she's covering her boobs and then she's turning and putting her chin on her shoulder. Mm-hmm, that's one of her most iconic poses. What else is she up to?
So this tweet, which I think I kind of knew this. Did you know Rita Ora was in Harry Potter?
Harry Potter what?
The movie.
Wait, what? No.
Yeah, Rita Ora was an extra in Harry Potter. Scroll down.
Oh my God, like the first Harry Potter. Prisoner of Azkaban, I had no idea.
So someone did a really funny oral history of the first Harry Potter, but the best part is Rita Ora's in it once, and it just says, Rita Ora. Little known fact, I was in the Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban as a child actress. I made a cameo appearance in Sybil Trelawney's divination class. And it's just, and then I searched Rita Ora Harry Potter, and like, this isn't new news to a lot of people, and there are clips of Rita Ora in the class. Looks just like Rita Ora.
Wow, look at that.
Yeah. Anyways.
She's truly a Renaissance woman.
It also just proves that if you were British and young of a certain, if you were British and a certain age in England at this time and somewhat wanting to get into show business, you were in Harry Potter.
That was the hot ticket. That was the one that your parents made you audition for.
But just also there were so many roles, I feel like. Like they just had to fill the,
they needed kids.
The school with kids. Anyways.
And I think we're done. So thank you for listening.
What an episode.
What an episode. We went all over the map. If you, God, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts if you don't already. Why wouldn't you? That's a crazy thing to ask. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That's what I meant to say. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter and our Facebook group because it's a lot of fun. Please support our sponsors too, throwing that into the mix because why not?
Wow.
If our sponsors like us, if you buy stuff from our sponsors, then they keep buying ads on us and we can keep doing the show, which is really cool.
Oh my God, where'd that come from? Look at that.
And I think that's about it. Call 619-WHO-THEM if you have a question or a comment or a concern.
What a pro. I have nothing to add. You're too good at this.
And we will see you on Friday.
Bye.
Bye.
You or Drayla? Yo,
they want to know.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey. I want to be famous.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.